Chapter 11. Lexi sat in her car in the retirement center parking lot, thinking about the messages Jack had left on her phone. The mid-fall sun beat through her windshield, raising the temperature in the car to summer-like levels. The Danish she had polished off inside suddenly felt like a lead weight in her stomach. She stared at the cell phone in her hand. She wanted to call Jack, but the thought of talking to him sent her stomach in a tailspin. She did want to clear the air and work things out with him, but she had to admit she had an ulterior motive for calling. She wanted to know if they found the murder weapon in the dumpster. She realized she should probably come clean about the missing knife. She didn't want it to reflect badly on her if Jack found out she had withheld that little tidbit of information. She took a deep breath, then pressed the call button. Barillo. She heard Jack's voice bark his customary greeting. Hi, Jack. It's Lexi, she said tentatively, not sure what exactly to expect.
Oh, Lexi. I was hoping you would call.
Lexi's heart did a flip-flop upon hearing the tenderness in his voice when he said her name.
Look, I want to apologize. I guess I've been neglecting you. I didn't mean to. It's just that I've been so busy on this other case I'm on, I tend to get wrapped up in my work.
Jack sounded nervous, which made Lexi's heart melt, washing away the past 2 weeks of anger and hurt feelings. She realized how silly she had been to think he had lost interest in her. He just got busy with work. How insecure could she be?
Well, I was feeling a bit neglected, she laughed. I didn't know if you were trying to give me the brush off.
No, it's nothing like that. You know how I feel about you.
She did? Come to think of it, Jack had never said how he felt about her, but he did act like he cared. And he sure sounded like it on the phone right now. Lexi decided to let go of her insecurities and accept that things were good with them. Having that out of the way, she turned to more pressing issues.
Were you looking for something in the dumpster today?
She asked, trying to slip the words in as if they were just conversational.
Were you?
I asked first. Jack's deep laugh warmed her from the other side of the phone.
Okay, I give. We were looking for the murder weapon. It still hasn't shown up. Now it's your turn. What were you looking for?
Lexi crossed her fingers.
I was looking for some of our supplies, which seemed to have disappeared from the house. She hoped her voice didn't reveal the little white lie, but she didn't want Jack to know she was looking for the murder weapon because she knew he would be mad at her for meddling.
Oh, really? Like one of your knives, maybe?
Damn, he already knows the murder weapon was my knife.
Well, now that you mention it, I am missing some knives, she said innocently.
Lexi, I wasn't born yesterday. I know you were looking for the murder weapon in there, and I know it was one of your knives. What I don't know is why you would be trying to find it yourself, instead of leaving it up to the police.
Lexi didn't have a good answer, other than the police were being too slow in finding the murderer. She chose to remain silent. She heard the rustle of papers from Jack's end. Then he said,
I have to run, but maybe we can talk about this later, say over dinner Thursday night.
Okay. Lexi didn't know if she should be happy at the prospect of having dinner with Jack or nervous because he wanted to talk more about the murder weapon.
Good. I'll pick you up around 7. Oh, and Lexi?
Yes?
I really mean it about staying out of the case. There is a killer on the loose and you could be in danger. I don't want anything to happen to you. Will you promise me that you'll stop your investigation?
What? You're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Lexi grabbed an empty candy bar wrapper, which was laying on the console, and made crinkling noises with it near the phone.
I'll see you Thursday night, she said into the phone, then snapped it shut.
Jack held the phone away from his ear, looking at it with amusement. He knew Lexi had manufactured the cell phone disturbance to avoid the question. He had to admit, he thought it was kind of cute and funny. He thought lots of things that Lexi did were cute and funny. That's what he liked about her. Really liked. Thinking about her made his heart do a somersault. He hoped she would take his warning seriously. According to what the investigation was revealing, they could be dealing with a very dangerous and unstable person. He didn't want Lexi to put herself into danger by continuing to investigate on her own. Jack leaned back in his chair. He was surprised at the way his stomach knotted up when he thought about harm coming to Lexi. She'd become very important to him over these past few months. He had real feelings for her. Feelings he didn't think he would ever have again after his breakup with Caitlin. The breakup with his former fiancée had been hard on him, mostly because Jack blamed himself for always putting his job first and neglecting her. The same thing he had been doing the past 2 weeks with Lexi. A deep feeling of dread washed over him at the thought of losing Lexi. He couldn't let that happen. He would have to make a conscious effort to pay more attention to her. Hopefully it wasn't already too late.
It looks like our suspicions were right about the Tolliver boys.
Jack jerked his head up, startled by his partner, John Darling, who had suddenly appeared beside his desk.
They're both flat broke and living off Daddy's money,
John continued, handing a stack of papers to Jack.
Not only that, but I'm digging up some really creepy stuff from their high school days. You remember the murder of that young girl back about 20 years ago?
Jack nodded.
Well, it seems like either Blake or Bronson, or maybe both of them, may have been mixed up in it.
Jack rubbed his face with his hands. He didn't like the idea of a dangerous murderer on the loose in his town, but he didn't have anything concrete on either of the boys to bring them in and hold them on. He wasn't sure that one of them actually was the murderer, and there was a long list of other suspects to eliminate first. We have to think about who had the opportunity. It had to have been someone in the house, or someone who had access. We know the front door was open that morning, and the back door was too, but who opened them, and why? Jack asked. John spread his hands.
There's a lot of questions waiting to be answered. Why did Chastine leave Texas so abruptly? Why can't we find anything about her assistant, Candace? Who left the doors open?
Jack looked up at him. The biggest question I have is, why was Chastine down in the kitchen all dressed up in fancy clothes at 2:30 in the morning when she should have been in bed sleeping? That would seem to indicate she was meeting someone. I think if we find out who that someone was, we may have our killer.